is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, today we're going to continue our series, Come Now, Behemoth and Leviathan. In the last days, Satan must war against his most important, powerful enemy, and that would be the Word of God. It's for a reason that the Bible says that Jesus is that very Word of God in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and the devil truly hates the Holy Bible, every jot and tittle in it, my friends, and he wants to pollute it and pervert it. And the war in the last days, then, is not necessarily against individuals, although there certainly is a great conflict going on, and we have to be aware that we too are fighting in this war. We too are holy soldiers who need the armor of God, as the Apostle Paul called it, to fight off the wiles of the devil. But more than that, we need to defend the Word of God, for without the Word of God, we have no shield. No shield. Some people say, but if even we were to lose the Word of God, we have the person of Jesus Christ. That is true. But then that person, Jesus Christ, would be proven to be a liar. For Jesus himself said that his word would endure forever. And he said that it's forever settled. And therefore, if the devil were to destroy the word, it would make Jesus into a liar. And believe me, my friends, our Lord is no liar. And I believe him. Everything he said, and he said his word would last until all of eternity. This heaven, this earth is passing away, but not his word. Never, never will God's word pass away. But there are coming two great beasts upon this planet, Behemoth and Leviathan. And the book of Job so well describes it in chapters 40 through 42. Oh, how important is the book of Job for so many reasons, but especially for the prophetic reasons that we're talking about in this great series. Come now, Behemoth and Leviathan. Now, before we begin today's segment, we'd love to pray for you. Please let us know if you have a prayer need, maybe an illness in your family, maybe a sickness in your own body. Maybe you're worried about illness or your health or a job. Maybe you're desperate in your finances and you need someone to pray for you. We'd like to be that someone. Would you honor us by giving us an opportunity to pray for you? Just write to me, Tex Mars, Pastor Tex Mars. Now, it is not mandatory by any means, but if you feel led by the Holy Ghost to give a contribution or a donation to this ministry, whether or not you have a prayer request, I encourage you to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We do need your help. And we are so very thankful for the love gifts and donations that we have received. We use them to pay our bills, our radio bills included, and we're able to keep this message going across the air. Now, we're going to keep this message going until we run out of money someday. I don't know when that will be. It could be that God will keep our message going forever. I'm not here to tell you that next month or the next month we're going to be off the air. You know, I think there are some radio preachers that do those things just to get money. If I tell you we're going to be off the air unless we get more money in a month or two, believe me, we're going to be off the air. But I have never, ever said that. I might someday. I don't know. because our expenses have been beyond what we're bringing in. But that doesn't matter. We've been more than able to keep up. But we do need your help. And I don't want to make a big deal of it. Don't want to try to make you feel guilty or anything like that. Hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit will convict whomsoever he will. Enough said about that. The big thing is, pray for us. Some people are unable to give. And you know, if you're on Social Security, you're barely able to make ends meet, you're barely able to feed your family, please, please, we're not asking you to send us a single dime. Although, I will say this, the greatest gift you could give us would be prayer. Prayer. I know you can afford 5 minutes, 10 minutes, one day a week, one day a month even to pray for us. I think that's more mighty than money. I believe prayer trumps money every time. Doesn't mean we don't need money because, you know, the radio bills come and we've got to pay our expenses, but that's not our main goal. I believe if we serve God, we'll have all the money we need. We're not going to have any more than we need. We don't have a fancy building. We don't have a big staff of employees. But, you know, it's impressed me that we've had everything we've needed since we founded Bible Home Church. And one thing we have is the prayers of the saints. And that is the most valuable asset that any person could have, or any ministry for that matter. So I want to thank you for your prayers to this ministry. Now, we have a beautiful song here. I've always loved this tune. There are a number of artists, I guess you would call them artists, Christian gospel singers that have sang it. And no matter who sings it, it's a lovely tune, The Oil and the Wine. This is Janet Paschal. Oh, what a lovely voice she has. And I just love this album by Janet Paschal. The name of the song is The Oil and the Wine. And immediately after this song, we'll have today's message on Come Now, Behemoth and Leviathan. I'm Pastor Tex Mars of Bible Home Church.
A sea of voices cast their cry upon my slumbering ears. The sound of pain and broken hearts was more than I could bear. Some have given to desire, for life had always been unkind. I recall the Great Commission, pour in the oil and the to see the beaten, bleeding, dying, helpless in the streets. We judge this sad misfortune, but rarely take the time to reach down in sweet compassion, pour in the oil and the wine. Life in that same someone reaching gently, pouring oil and the wine.
The Bible starts with God dividing the light from the darkness. And you know how it ends? With a warning. Mess with my word. This is Texas paraphrased. Mess with my word. Change it. Add to it. And God says this will be your destiny. Your name will be taken out of the book of life of the Lamb. And all of the plagues of Revelation will be your lot. Now, I want you to understand, that's how much God thinks of His Word. Can you imagine? He leaves the whole, all 66 books of the Bible with this frightening warning. Don't touch my Word. And you know what? I don't think any true Christian wants to touch His Word. Because we cherish it in our heart. Because the Word has the power, we read in Romans, to salvation. Cherish and honor God's word, and you will be gloriously alive for all of eternity. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No wonder God holds His word in such esteem. We would not have salvation, such great salvation, without His word. Now, if it is by the word of God that salvation comes, then what would the devil most want to undermine and destroy? Of course, His word. And thus we find some very unusual prophetic passages in Job. Oh, Job is a great book of prophecy. You'd be amazed. There's all kinds of prophecy in the Bible. In Job chapters 40 and 41, and I wish I had time to read it, but I want you to on your own. You'll be blessed. You see, in Revelation 13, we read of these two great beasts that will come upon the earth. One rises out of the sea. The second out of the earth. The second one causes all mankind to worship after the first beast. And of course, we have the taking of the mark. We have the man, the Antichrist, with 666, the image of the beast. All of those horrid things to come upon the earth. Two beasts. Job 40, 41 also has two beasts. The first one is called Behemoth. Oh, He's mighty. He is, His bones are like brass, like iron. He tramples the earth. Now, He has a special mission, Behemoth does. Because we read in Job that it is He who sucks the living waters out of the River Jordan. Oh, yes, that's His mission. Jesus said, I'm the living waters. Drink of me and my waters and you'll never thirst again. But Behemoth, the beast, sucks up those living waters. And he makes of the world a dry desert. And he fulfills the prophecies of Amos. That in the last days, there will be a famine in the land. Not of bread, but of the teaching of the Word of God. And it says, and for those of you who have driven and flown many miles to this conference, I'm glad you did. You have fulfilled prophecy. Because it says very clearly in the book of Amos that people will even traverse across the seas. They'll go great distances. They'll be so hungry for the word of God. And they can't hear it in their hometown or their church. They'll travel. They'll be so hungry. And my friends, this is the time we're on. This is the time of victory, even in the last days, for the Christian. Because there are people out there now asking questions. And if you don't tell them that Jesus is coming again, and of the things of the last days, they'll seek after Nostradamus. They'll seek after the Celestine Prophecy, a New Age so-called prophecy book, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Oh, the devil has a lot of prophecies out there. But people are hungry today. They want to know the future. Every time you turn on the TV, there's specials, ancient prophecies. What does the future foretell? And only those who know Jesus have an answer for the whole world. And look at this great church, so few and so much hunger throughout the world for the last days. So Behemoth, the first beast, comes and he takes away the word of God, those living waters. He dries up the Jordan and he paves the way. He paves the way for the second beast to come upon the world. That second beast, Leviathan, the fire-breathing dragon, that old serpent, Satan. And Job chapter 41, the last verse, makes it very clear who Leviathan is, as if you didn't know from Isaiah, for example, that piercing serpent. It says that he is king of the people who are filled with pride. Those who are prideful and have rejected God, Leviathan, the serpent, is their king. But I want you to understand something. The events of the last days, all of the horrors of the book of Revelation, all of the hideous things that will happen because the fourth kingdom comes upon the earth, according to the prophet Daniel, the way is paved by Behemoth, who makes of the world a desert devoid of the healing waters of Jesus Christ. Now, please understand, God makes it clear the importance of His Word. Let me read you just a few verses. And all of you have heard these, but I want you to take it to heart this morning. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You can't get rid of God's Word. You can't burn them. You can't take a penknife, as one Old Testament king did, and try to rip them up. You can't throw them in the ocean. They float just like ivory back up to the top. All Scripture, we see in 2 Timothy, every word is given by inspiration of God. Not by the men themselves. Some say, well, wait. The Bible has to be contaminated because it came through men. Nonsense. It didn't come through men. It came through God. And the men were simply instruments. And I'm telling you, they could no more change or add to the Word of God than a monkey can speak literate English. They couldn't do it. They can't do it. The Word of God is eternal. And I'm telling you, my friends, the Bible says in Psalm 119 that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Dave Breese talked about keeping your mind on heavenly things. I'm telling you, the Word of God is something mighty and heavenly. And it's settled. You know what that means? It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. One prophetic teacher recently wrote in his newsletter, The Berean Call, and he said, I prefer the King James, but when I believe the other versions are better worded, I use them. Oh, that won't work. You can't prefer one word of God and say, but I'll use the other whenever I want to. This isn't some kind of 12-step program. It's not the Bible as you understand it. It's the Bible as God gave it to His prophets and apostles. And that's the way it is, friends. You can't serve two masters. Or you'll be like in the Civil War. The man who said, wow, I don't like all these bullets and all these cannonballs flying around. I think I'll wear a suit coat that's gray, like the rebels wear. But I'll wear the pants that are blue, like the Union troops wear. And I'll be protected. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, you know what happened to him. In the heat of battle, both sides shot at him. both sides shot at him, one at the gray, one at the blue. It won't work, my friends. There is only one Bible. There is only one way. There is only one God. There is only one heaven. There is only one salvation. There is only one Holy Spirit. The Bible. There are many reasons we should trust the Bible. Not too long ago, I debated the man who is sort of the John the Baptist for Lord Maitreya, the New Age Christ. The debate was very interesting. We were supposed to go an hour and a half, and I think it went about three and a half hours, because the phone calls just kept coming in and in and in. It was the most popular talk show in the state of Texas, in Austin, Texas. And Benjamin Krim got very upset at me because, you see, he kept talking about his Lord Maitreya, the New Age Christ, and all of the wonderful things of the plan, the divine plan of Maitreya. And I kept quoting the scriptures, the King James Bible. And he said, but you don't understand. Jesus was the Christ for the old Piscean age. We're now into the Aquarian age. And Lord Maitreya, the Lord and Master of all religions, He's the Imam Mahdi of the Muslims. He is the one the Jews have been looking for. He is the Christian Christ for our age. And I says, but the scriptures say that he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ is of the Antichrist. Now, Benjamin got very upset. He's a very articulate gentleman from Great Britain, and he has that wonderful, melodious British accent. But he literally became tongue-tied. And he said, you know what the problem is with you, Mr. Mars? You're just like all those other fundamentalist Christians. You have no mind of your own. All you can do is quote that Bible. And I said, Benjamin, that's absolutely right. You see, why do I need to use my own puny mind when the greatest intelligence in the universe gave me this book? I'll use it instead. Well, I can tell you who won that debate, my friends. The Word of God, not Tex Mars. But today, confusion reigns in Christendom. You see, we don't have one Word of God. We have many Words of God. We have the New International Version, 1978. We have the New King James Version, 1982. We have the Living Bible, 1971. We have one called the Message, 1993. We have the New American Standard Bible, 1963. We have the New Century Version, 1983. We have the Amplified Bible, 1964. Oh, there are many Bibles. And you see, if you don't like one, it's like Baskin Robbins. There's 31 flavors. Go get another one that you like better. They're preparing the way for the Antichrist to come by destroying, by undermining the Word of God. And I've done much research on this, my friends. And I'm going to be talking about this very short time this morning. But when we talk about the worldwide church of the devil, I'm telling you, Leviathan is on his way. And he is being prepared. His way is being made smooth by these new versions, these satanic new versions of the Bible. They are from the very pit of hell. I can prove that to you. I will prove that to you while I'm here. And it will be a divisive issue, and it must be a divisive issue, because this is a bigger issue than the world conspiracy or the New Age movement or what Clinton's or your prime minister does. This is the issue of the ages, the Word of God. And if you're not fit for the battle, then you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And neither am I. Well, in the short time I have left here this morning, I want to tell you just some of the reasons why I'm convinced that these new versions are no different than the New Age false Bibles. Here's one, for example, the lost teachings of Jesus. Oh, you didn't understand. Our Bible doesn't have it all. There are lost teachings of Jesus. And here Elizabeth Clare Prophet will tell you all about it. This is available at B. Dalton or Walden Books or whatever. Here's a new one. You see, the Dead Sea Scrolls are very popular. And although they do seem to point to a Messiah who was pierced, nevertheless, the Dead Sea Scrolls, I believe, are a bunch of trash put forward by the Essene cult, a Gnostic cult. Listen, we've already been given the Bible, my friends. Don't seek after some scrolls that were found in some jar, in fragments, and brought to the Rockefeller Museum so that the Vatican Jesuit priest could pore over them for 4 decades and come out with a bunch of silly pronouncements. You've already been given the Bible. But like the evolutionists, they say, but you see, everything changes with new archaeological discoveries. I mean, the Bible has to change. We keep looking for older and better manuscripts. And every time we find a new manuscript, we're going to change the Bible and improve it. And I hearken back to the word of Jesus. He said, it is written. My friends, he didn't say it is written again and again and again. He didn't say it's written and then revised after you find new archaeological discoveries. It is written. What version did he use? He seemed to be very assured of himself. He stood up in the temple. He said, this is the acceptable day of the Lord. What version was it? I'm telling you, it was God's version. It was preserved. The writings of Moses. Oh, the climatic conditions of this earth do not allow for books, for parchment to last more than a few 100 years. It will crumble into dust. Not God's word. It'll be copied over and over and over again and preserved forever and ever, for it is forever settled in heaven. The Essene Gospel of Peace. The lost scrolls of the Essene Brotherhood. This is a gentleman who says he studied in the Vatican and he found these lost scrolls to give to the world.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.